Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
But today we're going to take a look at a walk I'm sure you're familiar with. We're going to be in the 14th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to take a look at Peter's encounter with Jesus walking on water. If you're in one of the Black Emmanuel Bibles, that's on page 796. If you're on the app, it's there for you. If you're in your own Bible, Matthew chapter 14. I do invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel lesson today. Starting with verse 22, it says, immediately he made the disciples get in the boat and to go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he replied, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for you, the beloved people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart gathered here be pleasing and acceptable to you. You are our Lord. You are our rock, and you are our Redeemer. Amen. So you've had some unforgettable walks, good and bad, in your life. And the Bible is full of unforgettable walks. But I dare to say this is one of the more famous walks in the Bible. And here's why I say that. I have never seen anyone try to redo Abraham's walk to sacrifice Isaac. I have never seen that. I have never seen anybody redoing the Israelites' walk through the wilderness. But I have seen just about every child that's ever been in a swimming pool try to be like Peter. Come on now. You're lying in church if you don't think you've ever started back real far like this and you got running and blah, 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 blah. That's pretty funny, wasn't it, Danny? Yeah, it hurt too. Peter, depending on how long you've been in church, probably determines your opinion of Peter. Peter is known for opening his mouth long before he thinks. And so this story, we probably, most of us have heard before, and there's a lot of different ways to look at it. But today I want to invite you to hear what Peter heard. I want to invite you to hear what the other 11 disciples heard. And that's an invitation from Jesus to come and join him on the water. You see, this year we're focusing on spiritual growth. So growth, spiritual maturity, sanctification for my theologians, whatever term you use, it only happens on the water with Jesus. There is no growth in the boat. So here's the backstory. Our scripture starts with the word immediately. Jesus has just fed all these people with this little boy's Happy Meal. Five little crackers and two little tiny fish. And there's 12 baskets of leftovers. All this major miracle. And then Jesus says, hey, I know you're tired. Y'all get in the boat and go on to the other side. I'm going to dismiss these thousands of people. Then I'm going to pray. He doesn't tell them how he's going to catch up. He does just that. And then Jesus decides he's going to catch up by walking on the water through the midst of this major storm. So I want you to think for a minute, is where in our scripture today do we see fear? One verse says Peter saw the waves and the strong wind and became frightened. Where do we see failure? Peter is walking on water. That may not be cool to y'all. That would be cool for me. Like to do that. Like to see fish underneath your feet. It'd make catching a lot easier. You wouldn't even need a hook. You'd been down and get one, right? But he's walking on water, and then what happens is he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he starts looking around, and what happens? He starts to sink. Yesterday, we heard our speaker. His name was Stuart Hall, and he compared this story to D-Day on the beaches of Normandy. And he used a quote from Colonel George Taylor and the way that he led his men. And Colonel Taylor said, there are two types of men in this landing. Those that are already dead and those who are going to die. It's not real hopeful, is it? But his point was, some of the men are already so scared and afraid, they're dead in the boat. And some of us are going to get onto the beach and achieve our mission, and we're probably going to die there. And he said to his men, I would at least rather die there than I would in the boat. You see, every single disciple watched Jesus feed the multitudes. Every single disciple picked up a basket of leftovers. Every single disciple heard the words, do not be afraid. It's me. It's Jesus. Don't be afraid. Every single disciple heard the invitation, come. But only one got out of the boat. So if you ask me, and if you'll give me a little leeway on the traditional spin of this story, the greatest amount of fear, the greatest amount of failure in this story is that 11 stayed in the boat. Not that one got out and began to sink. I would rather sink and Jesus pull me up than I would to sit in the boat the rest of my life. When I read this story, I see us. And when I say us, I mean, yes, those of us gathered here, but us as Christians. I see three groups of people. Those that are walking on water. Some of you may be in a place in your life right now, and you're just steady walking with Jesus. And you're just walking. And life's going on all around you, and it doesn't matter. Because your eyes are locked on Jesus. If that's you, praise God, that's you. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Because the wind and the waves are still going on. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. There's those of us who got out of the boat, and now we feel like we're sinking. Anybody else want to join me in that group? Okay, I'm not by myself. It's like, God, I'm trying, But do you realize these waves are still going? Do you realize my children still have needs? Do you realize it's still hard to be married? Do you realize that life at work is pretty tough? Do you realize that somebody I care about is tempted by a disease they can't get rid of? God, do you realize that I'm out here trying to follow you, but my child is addicted to pills? God, do you realize that I can't seem to connect with my husband because all he does is work and come home and drink? See, we don't want to talk about that in the church anymore, but is that not the storms that you experience in your life, some way, shape, or form? It's the storms I experience in my life. God, I'm doing the best I can, but I'm sinking. There's a lesson to be learned from Peter, isn't there? At least he's smart enough to say, Lord, save me. I can't do it on my own. And we don't get many details in the text, but I think there's only really two options here. Jesus either pulls Peter up and puts him on his shoulder and walks him back to the boat, or what? Peter gets up out of the water and does what? Walks back to the boat with Jesus. Because it does say they got back in the boat. He had to get somewhere, didn't he? See, sometimes, that's right, Danny, sometimes when we're struggling and we're just about to give in and we cry out to Jesus, we get our faith back. Because we see him move in our lives again. And we remember that he's moved before. And that if he's going to move then, he's going to move now. And he's going to move tomorrow. And he's going to move forevermore. And then, and let me say this. I think the majority of us want to be the disciple sinking. Because if we say we're walking on the water, it sounds kind of arrogant, doesn't it? If that's you, that's you. That's fine. There's been times in my life, my walk with Christ, I've been way up on the water. Like in one of those new fancy, like, you know what I'm talking about. All the college recruits do it, and it shoots the jet out from under them, and they're up like floating in the air. Sometimes that's how my walk feels like. But I think most of us want to say, yeah, I'm probably sinking. I'm doing my best, but I'm probably sinking a little. But if we want to be honest, the most crowded group is the group in the boat. So much so that we would rather just stay there in our comfort than take a chance on letting Jesus change our lives. Well, it's out of my control. I'm just going to sit here and hopefully he's going to show up. And I'm going to come to church, but man, it's really a lot of work to worship. I mean, I'll pray every now and then, but I won't do any of that crazy praying, you know? I won't do any of that hands up, hands touching. I won't do any of that praying. But God, thank you for my food. Help us to sleep tight. Amen. Have you ever noticed it's the casual prayers in your life that don't lead to growth? You ever had a desperate prayer? God, save my son? Shared that with us before. God, fix my marriage? God, restore my church? You ever seen desperate prayers move? Because it leads us to a place of surrender, doesn't it? See, here's the funny thing about being in the boat. They were in the same storm Peter was in. That boat's being rocked to and fro. The biggest difference is Peter's closer to Jesus. And if I'm going to be in a storm, I want to be closer to Jesus. Not in the boat with 10 other failed fishermen and a tax collector. You got that one? Yeah. You see, God, I know my grandmama taught me that I need to go to church and I need to give. But I just don't have enough money to do that right now. So I'm going to sit in the boat until I get enough money. You run out of money every time. How about this? How about we get out of the boat and we say, Jesus, I'm going to give you everything I got. All of me, because you gave all of you. You'll never run out of faith. You'll never run out of money. But it's only going to happen on the water, not in the boat. And I know I went too far. Now some of you are going to be upset because I talked about money in the Methodist church. But folks, it's the truth. See, we would rather sit in the boat and complain about how other people are serving than we would get out of the boat and actually do some serving. We would rather the preacher and all the lay servants invite people to church and be the witness for Christ while we sit in the boat. But Jesus called everybody to get out of the boat. This year we're really talking about growth in three ways: individual growth, community growth, growth in service. It's really easy in our busy lives. I know you're busy. If you got kids and grandbabies, your life is busy. We just talked about it all morning. Ladies, I know you're busy. You work all day, then you come home and put up with a husband that's no good for nothing. And you got to take care of the kids. Y'all quit pointing at each other back there in the back. But it's real easy to say, I'm too tired to see what God's got for me today. But if you'll get out of the boat and say, you know what, it may mean getting up 20 minutes early, but I'm not going through a day without my Lord, your life will change. It's a lot easier to say this small group stuff sounds like he wants me to talk about my life and get vulnerable and touchy-feely with other people. And doesn't he know that's not how we do things? We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we work hard, and when somebody asks me at church how I'm doing, I say I'm fine, and I lie right to their face. But it takes getting out of the boat and getting on the water to say, I'm going to trust somebody to ask me, how's your week with Jesus been? Well, honestly, it's been pretty bad. Can you pray for me? You got to get out of the boat to do that kind of stuff. And then in service, statistics say that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. I'm going to tell you, my short amount of time in being a pastor, it's about 8% does 100%. Because we got a boat full of people who want somebody else to do it. And we got a boat full of other people who said, I did that 40 years ago. My time's up. Jesus said, come. He didn't say, come if you're under 40. He didn't say, come if you got money. He didn't say, come if you've never helped. He said, come. The reality is, myself included, I prefer to stay in the boat. It's comfortable. But think about the life-changing encounter with Christ we miss if we don't walk on water. I want us to be a bunch of water-walking people here in Welford. That's got water-walking Welford. That's a t-shirt. Somebody, WWW is no longer on the internet. That's water-walking Welford people. Then flip the W upside down, be Methodist. Man, we own to something now. Woo! That's good preaching, Anna. But I do, man. I want us to be so far from the boat. You know, they used to, when they would, back in the day, a long time ago, before anybody was living, when they would go to attack and conquer a city, what would the captain do to the boat when they got there? He may know. Set it on fire. They set it on fire because guess what? Retreat's not an option. We're going to stay here and fight. So what if we looked at our enemy? Y'all know we got an enemy, right? Sometimes they're human enemies, but most of the time they're spiritual enemies. And what if we got out of that boat and we just said, you can set that thing on fire because Jesus is out here, and if you want to fight, you're going to have to fight him because he's fighting on my behalf. Long time ago, Casting Crowns had a song called The Voice of Truth. And this is what it says. It says, "Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and onto the crashing waves. To step out of my comfort zone to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is." Now, don't just go getting out of a boat if Jesus isn't out there. You're going to sink. Y'all understand that, right? Peter's at least smart enough to also say, "Jesus, are you sure?" "Yeah, come on." "Okay." If he hadn't asked, he wouldn't have known for sure. And he's holding out his hand. "Man, but the waves are calling out my name. They're laughing at me. They're reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, 'Boy, you'll never win. You'll never win.' But the voice of truth, the voice of Jesus, tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, 'Do not be afraid.' And the voice of truth says, 'This is for my glory.' Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen to the voice of truth." You see, our scripture passage ends with Peter and Jesus getting back in the boat. And it says that those in the boat worshiped him and proclaimed, "Truly you are the Son of God." Sometimes your walk on water is so that Christ can bring glory to himself in front of other people. When you're going through your struggles, don't go back to the boat. Grab a hold of your Savior and let him use that to show other people how great he truly is. Amen? Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.